Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, of course, Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. I'd like right now to welcome Scott Schuker and Hans von Briesen. They are both involved with a staged reading called Llama Genesis, Llama Incarnations that's happening at St. John's College this Sunday. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hello.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So this Llama Genesis, Llama Incarnations reading is based on a set of interviews about the Llama Foundation, which is a community here in New Mexico that I heard about when I first moved here 20 years ago. What was it all about at its founding, the Llama Foundation?
Well, it was incorporated in 1968, and it was intended to be originally as a commune, an artist commune, but the founders met a meditation teacher who said, I cannot help you with the utopian community because they don't work, but I can help you with the spiritual community. And so he gave them some guidelines. His name was Herman Rednick. He was a meditation teacher in Taos. And he gave them some guidelines like regular meals, a regular schedule, food for the mind, for the heart, and for the body, work, and a kind of a regularity that was unusual among communes.
And like the communes of that era, it was mostly people in their 20s?
Yeah, at the time, yes. Yeah. There were some older people came through.
Now, were you there, Hans, at the very beginning?
I visited, and then I moved there in 69, a year after it was incorporated.
And your brother was one of the founders?
No, my brother-in-law, my sister was one of the founders.
Oh, okay. And so what was it like at the beginning? And what led you to go there?
My first wife and I had been in Gurdjieff work for years in Boston and Rochester, New York. And when we visited, we were just really quite taken with what they were trying to do. It was very practical, very grounded, also very spiritual. And there was a real vision that Steve Durkee, who's one of the founders, had that we were attracted to. And
what was the nature of the vision?
It was, as it became a spiritual community, the invocation was for the awakening of consciousness. In other words, there's a real spiritual focus. But it was not allied to any particular religion. And it was also in an extraordinarily beautiful location, which was also had its own entrancing properties.
Up there north of Taos.
Right, yeah. It's 8,600 feet elevation. And just it's high enough where the snow comes there first before it comes lower in the mountain.
How did they support themselves?
Initially, it was people who were there who had money or independent income were able to contribute. And eventually, a retreat program began, mainly during the summers, but that was much, much later. It was 1975, a series of retreat programs each year, which continues.
Now, Scott Schuker, you were probably maybe not even born yet when it started, but you spent off and on 12 years there yourself.
That's correct. I was actually born the year it was founded. That when it was actually incorporated and they started building. I started living there in 1995. I was there for a year, and then the Hondo Fire happened, which burned 7,500 acres on Llama Mountain all the way up to Red River. And so I lived through the fire, and then I lived there off and on.
Both. So the whole Llama Foundation and its buildings and everything were destroyed?
Not the entire community. What allowed us to survive or continue on was the fact that the main structures, the main community structures like the dome and the kitchen and the flag building and all that survived. We continued to survive through donated trailers and domes and yurts and all that, all of which are pretty much gone now. We've rebuilt quite well. But the the property itself, a lot of trees died and a lot of vegetation died, and all that is, most of that has come back as well since then.
What drew you to living there yourself?
In the early 90s, I was very much interested in living in a spiritual community, and I had lived in, experimented with other forms early on, and I was living in Colorado, and I was getting all this information. This was before the internet really took off, so I was getting a lot of mailings from various communities around the country, and I was considering taking a big tour, and Lama was really close, and I wound up not taking the tour I had expected and wound up staying in Taos, and I moved up there in May of 95, and it's what I wanted, and I went through a lot of learning, both the joys and sorrows of intentional community living, and my heart was broken open, and really the place really captured me. And I lived as a neighbor for a while as well in the village.
What are some of the joys and sorrows of living in a place like that?
A community is like a pressure cooker, and you're interacting with, even though we had independent bedroom units, we shared meals, and and work, and you're interacting with a number of people every day. And there's also the spiritual practice, and both of those tend to contribute to inner work.
When you're doing spiritual practice in a community like that, that's not really sectarian. I mean, it's not like some subculture of Buddhists where everybody else where everybody has the exact. How do you practice together?
Well, one of the practices is a silent sit in the mornings. Another one is Lama has a heart club on Wednesday nights.
A heart club.
It's kind of a scheduled sharing. This happened after I left, so I haven't participated in the heart club.
Did you?
I keep hearing
many
about
times.
It.
I've written articles on it.
What's it?
It can be pretty open. It's mostly emotional sharing, like a check-in, for instance, how I'm feeling right now in this moment. It could be, there could be a topic, there could be a theme. There could be interpersonal sharing, like you left the cap off the toothpaste again, and it's really upsetting me, sort of thing.
It sounds awful.
There is a mutual respect involved. I think that people, as far as I understand it, people are asked not to react to what's being said,
right,
but to allow it to be said and to try to hear it.
And this is the thing, and this is what I have not lived in a commune or an intentional community like that, but I have seen in different kinds of contexts when people are basically asked or put in a context of being kind and compassionate and spiritual, but they're not really feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, for all of the years that we have been trying to fight repression of the Victorian era and stuff like that, you're just making your own new kind of repression.
Well, we still have an Everlast punching bag hanging outside. It's a really good way to get one's aggressions out in that way. You know, I experienced some very intense interpersonal conflict, but mostly I've experienced a great deal of really heart connection with people. I've made friends that are lifelong all over the world there, and the world literally comes to Lama Foundation, and one of the main practices is mainly compassion and keeping your heart open and being able to deal with conflict effectively through effective communication and conflict resolution, which is a main part of the curriculum there.
There's an interesting story at one meeting where Ram Dass was present, and Sarah asked about the value of psychodrama, and Ram Dass said, well, you know, I'm on the board of the Psychodrama Foundation, and they're about to dissolve because of internal dissent. And he said, I think what's going on here is much too sophisticated for that.
Interesting.
And it has to do with spiritual practice and growth being at the center, and personal development being at the center, and everything else is for the sake of that. I mean, there's a lot of ecological work going on now, permaculture, and really concern for the physical plane in a more conscious way than it used to be.
We were naive, but
still the spiritual practice remains central.
And it's, I mean, just the other day, I had an author on who was talking about it was called the Sustainable Kitchen. It's basically, and she was in a Zen Buddhist monastery for a while, and it's all about doing your kitchen consciously. You guys were at it decades before.
Yeah. But, you know, we I think at one point, Marion Shireen, who lives in Santa Fe now, did a land use study, a very rational land use study, and it was quite a shock to see how we had kind of, we didn't realize how overusing the land we had been doing because the trees were hiding everything.
And the fire changed all that.
The fire changed that. And I think after that, it took several years to accept the conclusions, but the community began paying more conscious attention to the physical plane.
So this reading is coming up, this staged reading, Lama Genesis, Lama Incarnations, on Sunday the 7th of November, this Sunday at 2 o'clock at St. John's College Great Hall.
After daylight savings time ends.
That's right, so don't come an hour early. And it's very low admission, and it's free for St. John's students and faculty. This play, or staged reading as it is in its current incarnation, it was put together based on hundreds of interviews that were conducted with, I guess, current and former. Well, is it still going? Is the Lama Foundation still going on? Can people still go and live there and so on?
Oh, yeah.
So current and former Lama Foundation people.
Correct.
What's it like? What are people in for?
This stage reading began as an oral history project about 10 years ago. It was the brainchild of associate member Ami Cohn, who actually lives in Crestone. And it was first intended to be, well, it started as a series of interviews that he had done with anyone that was in any way associated in a significant way with the community since its founding. And he wanted to have a broad range of stories throughout the years. It was intended to become a book, first of all. So some of us, he brought in members who wanted to write chapters for it, myself being one. And the book didn't come together, so instead he edited the stories into a stage reading, which we first enacted at the Lama Foundation several years ago. We did two readings up there, and then there was a reading at the in Crestone, and then there were four performances in Taos this past spring.
So how many? But I mean, like, how many actors are there?
I think there's about 8 to 10.
8 to 10 different actors, and so they are basically taking different parts and sort of dramatizing the joys and sorrows.
Yes.
and they are up there with scripts, and they're reading out of the script with a narrator. So they're bringing the stories to life through the reading. There's not exactly a lot of action like you would see in a play with a lot of staging, and there aren't a lot of special effects, no car chases or explosions.
The issue is why the Lama Foundation has survived for over 40 years when all of the other communities and communes of the late 60s and early 70s have, but for a few, dissolved and disbanded.
Just what do you think is the reason?
I think the original vision and the structure and the consensus decision-making made for a rather conservative community, all of those things, the fact that it was focused on inner work rather than completely outer work, I think was an important factor as well. The reading is concerned with four different challenges. One was the original founding. The second was when the founders left. The whole thing fell apart, and what happened after that. The third one was the fire. Actually, there were four that he mentioned, but the three I remember.
Well, and there's one where the founder goes to Saudi Arabia and comes back and wants everyone to convert to Islam.
Oh, that was the third one, and the fourth one was the fire.
And that,
that must have been a challenge.
During it that was. Time, obviously, I wasn't there. Sadiq was there, but it's also known among the community as the Holy Wars. And it was a very dramatic time, and Sadiq, I believe, was the coordinator at that time, and he could probably tell you more about that.
Sadiq,
but it was,
being Hans, who's sitting here with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was known as Sadiq through the Lama community. And it was a very dramatic time, and a very unexpected time.
It was a tough time. It was a tough time. At one point, we gave up and said, you can have it. just don't call it Lama Foundation.
Right.
And that was a little more than he was willing to take on.
But it weathered even that. I mean, did he moderate or did he leave?
Well,
or do we have to go to the play and see?
Yeah, maybe so. When things went on and I left because I was a mediating force, which wasn't helping, and it got harsher, and then somebody found a way of compromise where he went on pilgrimage to Mecca, and somebody else took over the intensive studies center, which he had finished and was running, and it worked out, but it took a long time for that healing. It took another 5 years or so for the healing of that rift to take place.
Scott Shooker, you left the Lama Foundation, I guess, what, a couple of years ago now?
Three and a half now.
And moved to Santa Fe.
Yeah.
What was it like for you to leave was it like leaving the womb a little bit?
Very much so. I had left the womb more than once. I also lived in Taos, and I traveled a lot. And so it wasn't such a culture shock for me. Matter of fact, I had no plan when I came here. It was actually plan C out of plans A and B did not work. And things just came together in a really helpful way. And it was a really great learning process for me because I'm usually a very planning-oriented person. So coming here with no real plan other than a place to stay for a little bit and a general idea of what I wanted to do when I was here was a really good teaching to just let go and accept that things will turn out for the best, where usually I'm wanting to plan more. So it's that way for anybody, and we have ways of getting people out of Lama Foundation. For instance, there's what's known as an escape fund, that if you're there as a resident, for every year you're there as a resident, you accrue, I think it's about $150, so that when you inevitably leave, you have some money. Lama is not designed as a place to grow old and retire.
Uh-huh.
Primarily because of the environment, the social structure, and all that. It's actually incorporated as an educational facility, 501c3 education facility. So it's not designed as a long-term thing. I think in the originally it was designed to be a family monastery where people did raise their kids. But as soon as they found out how hard it was to get them to school, it was went out the door.
Right, right. Lama Genesis, Lama Incarnations is a staged reading. It's happening on Sunday, the 7th of November at 2 in the afternoon at St. John's College, Great Hall, right here in Santa Fe, performed by Meta Projects Theater. And it's free for St. John students and faculty, low admission price otherwise. For more information, you can call 575-758-1104. And Scott Shooker and Hans von Briesen, thank you so much for being with us. What a great, fascinating story.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned. And I'd like now to welcome back to the program Rose and Philip Strzok. They are with Operation Christmas Child and Samaritan's Purse, which we talked about last June. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us here again.
So the weather's getting cold, Christmas is coming up, and Operation Christmas Child is in the works.
Yes, it is. We're in the midst of the collection season. It's all going to be terminated before Thanksgiving as far as the collection.
So you're collecting gifts for children in other countries.
In other countries, over 100 different countries. So right here in the northeast New Mexico area, here at in Santa Fe, we have a collection site. And from here, these gifts will be collected, sent to Denver to be processed and gone through and sorted. And then they go out worldwide from there.
And they are, as we talked about before, they're received by really some of the poorest kids in the world.
That's correct. Most of these kids, or a good percentage of them, have never received a gift before. And it meets an immediate need in their lives to demonstrate to them that somebody cares about them and is willing to share just the simple necessities of life, like hygiene items, school supplies, a few toys, and so that's a way to ultimately, in the life of the child, give them an eternal hope that somebody cares about them and loves them enough to, concerned about their future.
Now, if people want to donate for this, like when you guys make gifts to children who you've never met and will probably never meet, what kind of things do you put in the box?
Children love a stuffed animal, something to snuggle with, and we put in hygiene products.
Like shampoo, toothpaste?
No shampoo, but toothpaste, a bar soap. Kids have never had their own washcloth. We've talked to what's called Full Circle Kids that were in an orphanage when they received their shoebox, and they talk about the greatest gift was the washcloth, but also school supplies. What else, Phil? What would you?
Just anything that is not breakable or a liquid, because those tend in shipping to ooze out or leak out. So,
so you
don't want anything like that.
A box full of shampoo.
Hard candy.
Even right. hard candy is acceptable. No chocolate, of course, because that will probably melt. But things of that nature are very popular.
Operation Christmas Child is a ministry of children helping hurting children around the world, just giving them a gift of eternal hope and knowing that someone out there cares about them. And it not only touches the child, it touches their families as well.
And it's an evangelical Christian group, but I guess you don't have to be an evangelical Christian to donate to it.
That's correct. Where your heart and your talents and your you are with helping others, you can be of service to others by just preparing a simple gift. So let me encourage anybody out there that hasn't done so and they're so led, just to prepare a shoebox, a packet, and there are many places here in Santa Fe, in northern New Mexico, Santa Fe being one, at Calvary Santa Fe, that they can bring their gift and drop it off there, or even here at the Santa Fe Baking Company. If they're willing to just drop it off here, we will pick it up from here.
And you too, I just have to say, are the proud parents of the owners of the Santa Fe Baking Company, who are Eric and Kevin and Steve, three of the nicest guys in the whole world.
Oh, thank you very much for that. I'm sure they appreciate that. But I also want to say that Collection Week is November 15th through the 22nd, and you can go on the SamaritansPurse.org/OCC website, and it'll give you the exact hours of collection during that week.
SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. OCC, which is Operation Christmas Child.
Correct.
So the it's right before Thanksgiving. You got to be done by Thanksgiving if you want to make donations.
Correct.
Anything else before we go? Anything else you want to let our listeners know about?
We've had a good response this year. We've had increase in participation. We thank everybody that has done so so far. And I would just ask you this to take time and pray about maybe you participating if you haven't done so. Just so easy. Just prepare a shoebox and just think ahead of what child might be getting that shoebox and what difference in that child's life and their family's life that might make. So I just encourage you to do that. And
in a lot of spiritual traditions, the act of giving a donation to somebody you don't know and not getting credit for it and not having your name in lights is considered a very high kind of gift.
Exactly. Giving a gift to someone that you know can no way pay you back or do anything back for you. Although we have heard instances where people have included a picture with a name and address, and a child will respond.
Do you get pen pal kind of situations?
You can get a pen pal situation. We've had instances where the child's been adopted by the parents, or a man and a woman that have sent a shoebox.
Well, you can, once again, SamaritansPurse.org.OCC, Operation Christmas Child, and Rose and Philip Strzok, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We enjoyed presenting this worthwhile project to the listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to take a break, and Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He's with the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Supplement, or Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. Welcome.
Hi.
Whoops, speaking of the arts, I should put the right microphone on.
Oh, that's better. I can hear myself.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Long week, huh?
Long week indeed. Heavens. What's going on this weekend? We just heard about Ali Abu Nima.
Yeah, there's signs that the holidays are near. There's a few things going on that sort of speak to the holidays. Santa Fe Women's Ensemble is having a show. If I can find it, I'll tell you about it.
Excellent.
Let's see here. Oh, here it is. That's on Monday, the 8th. Holiday music, contemporary and original commissioned pieces. There's going to be some a cappella stuff, and there's also going to be some with piano accompaniment. That's at 7 p.m. on Monday at Rainbow Vision out there on Rodeo Road, and there's no charge for that. There were a few other things that were holiday-related, and I just can't seem to find them at the moment.
Well, I will tell you about the Muse Times 2 poetry series with Emily Warren and Matt Donovan.
Oh, yeah.
Our own Matt Donovan here in Santa Fe, and Emily Warren coming from outside, and she does poems that are based on her last book, Hebrew Letters. And so each set of poems is a meditation on the multiple mystical meanings of Hebrew letters. It's super cool. And Matt Donovan is a wonderful poet. They're going to be at Collected Works Bookstore on Sunday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
There's a great story in today's Basta Tiempo.
About them.
About them.
Awesome.
Yeah. What else? There's a lot of openings. A nice gentleman from a new-ish gallery called Eggman and Walrus came by and saw me a few days ago, dropped off some pictures at the Pasta Tiempo Bat Cave. And they're having an opening tonight at 6 p.m. They're at 130 West Palace Avenue on the second floor. You won't really be able to see it from the first floor. You have to actually make an effort and go upstairs. And they're showing an installation by Elizabeth Hadel, I believe is her name. And it's called The Id Versus the Superego, which is just like a perfect time for a show like that after an election like we had. And there's also going to be new work by Katie Kennedy. That's tonight at 6 o'clock. That show's up through December 4th. I'm going to go by. Apparently he's quite a cook, so he invited me by. So I'm going to go by there tonight.
Excellent. Hey, how about the opening of Company, the musical by Stephen Sondheim?
Oh, that's right. That's, let's see. It opens on Friday. It's presented by Santa Fe Rep at 8 p.m. Warehouse 21. It's also playing Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 4 o'clock.
And next weekend as well.
Yeah, and next weekend as well.
And this is the last weekend of Empty Bed Blues, which is at the Santa Fe Playhouse, and that's the D.H. Lawrence play.
That's right. There's a performance at 8 p.m. tonight, and there's a matinee tomorrow at 2, and then there's another performance tomorrow night.
And all of this in honor of the extravaganza that happened last night at the Lensic, which was the premiere, the world premiere of Women in Love, the BBC production. 2-hour-and-a-half movies. We made it from beginning to end. It was D.H. Lawrence.
Was there an intermission?
Yeah, there was a 15-minute intermission. It was intense. It was amazing.
You had someone on the show yesterday. You were interviewing someone about that yesterday, weren't you? Was that yesterday?
Several days ago. Yeah, we did one on Monday and one a week ago.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That was fascinating.
Indeed.
I wish I could have made it. What else is going on? Oh, there's a grand opening. There's a new gallery in town called Russian Art Gallery. They're having an opening tonight from 5 to 9 p.m. They're at 225 Galisteo Street. And the title of the show is Russian Realism and Impressionism. That shows up through January of next year, January 8th of next year. So you have some time, but welcome to the neighborhood, I guess.
And Deborah Eden Tull, who we had on the other day, who's the author of the book The Natural Kitchen, Your Guide to the Sustainable Food Revolution, is doing a workshop on sustainable cooking and living and everything to do with the kitchen at Ampersand Sustainable Living Center in Cerrillos tomorrow, Saturday, from 10 to 4. And you can still register by going to ampersandproject.org.
And I'm sure there's a charge for that. Is there?
There must be.
Okay. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't get anything about that. So.
Ampersandproject.org, yeah. She's wonderful. It's a really good book.
It's a great book.
Yeah. You saw it?
Yeah. They sent us two copies, so I borrowed one. Uh-huh. And took it home.
Excellent.
Let's see. There's something that I wanted to mention that I didn't get any information on in time to get it into the calendar, and in fact, I can't believe I overlooked it. But there's a Veterans Day Parade this Thursday, November 11th. I believe the parade starts at 10, and there's a ceremony at the New Mexico Veterans Memorial Monument on West of Vargas Street at 11 o'clock. And that is this Thursday. The parade route starts over there by sort of the Fort Marzi baseball field. and winds all the way down through Washington Avenue, kicks over Lincoln Avenue, around the plaza, and then ends up at the Veterans Memorial Monument at, I think, at 11 o'clock. So,
that's excellent.
It's a go down there and celebrate the veterans, because they could use our support.
Indeed. Frederick Marks is the producer of the film Hoop Dreams, and he's made a new film called Journey from Zanskar, and he will be here today at 7 o'clock. Where?
Here, like.
Here.
Right where we're standing?
It's all about the screen. The screen, which is the movie theater in the Santa Fe University of Art and Design campus. So I guess what's happening is that there's a screening of the film, and then they are doing kind of a fundraiser about it. So you can call the screen for more information, 473-6084. You can also go to thescreensf.com.
I wanted to mention, someone asked me to mention this, on also on Thursday the 11th, photographer Victoria Sambonaris, I hope I'm saying that correctly, is she's going to be giving a presentation in conjunction with the Santa Fe Art Institute's Elemental Air, or Earth, Air, Fire, Water, Art as Environment series. That's at 6 p.m. at Tipton Hall, also on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design.
At
6 p.m.
And I will probably have her on the air on Monday morning.
Oh, cool.
And I just have to say about this film, Journey from Zanskar, it's all about, apparently the Dalai Lama instructed two monks from the from a particular monastery to do everything to ensure that the Buddhist roots of Zanskari culture are preserved through education. So this is all about basically racing against the clock to preserve this piece of Buddhist culture.
And it's a fundraiser, right?
And it's a fundraiser. But the film is going to screen later on this year, I think in either late November or December.
Oh, cool.
But it's screening tonight.
Let's see, Saturday. A great band from a town I used to live in and went to school in, Olympia, Washington. A band called Broken Water. It's a sort of psychedelic, sludgy, grungy, indie rock kind of stuff. There's going to be some local bands also playing, including the Mayfair Classics and the Heroes of Consequence. That's at 9 p.m. at the Veterans of Foreign Wars building over there on Montezuma Avenue. And there's a small cover for that. And what else is going on? Fab Faux, the Beatles tribute band.
Fab Faux?
The Fab Faux. As in F-A-U-X, not F-O-E. That would be bad.
Yeah.
But they're playing at 7 p.m. at Mike's Music Exchange out there in El Dorado. If you go to mikesmusicexchange.com, you can get more information on that concert, or you can call 466-2782.
Yes, and thanks for reading that. Mike's Music Exchange has been very kind to send some CDs and promotional materials, which I'm sorry I haven't gotten on the air yet, so I'm glad we're talking about them.
Yeah, them, and also I want to talk about the Little Wing Art and Performance Space over there, Candyman and Strings and Things.
The Candyman.
They have a lot of interesting stuff coming up over the next few weeks. On Friday, tonight actually, at 8 p.m., they have an Arizona indie folk duo, Saint Street, is joined by another band from Olympia, Washington. Actually, not another band, a couple of singers, Eleanor Murray and Aba Kaiser. That's at 8 p.m., Little Wing at the Candyman. That's over there on St. Michael's Drive. There's a sliding scale for that. You call 699-5470, or you can go to the Candyman Strings and Things website and get more information about that.
I got something from the Adaptive Ski Program. The ski.
Oh, that's tonight.
The ski movie season has arrived, and at tonight, let's see, The Way I See It by Matchstick Productions.
I'm so going, brah.
Are you?
Yeah, totally,
at 6 and 8.30 tonight at the Cinema Cafe. Is it still there, the Cinema Cafe? You can still see movies? Does it still have the couches and everything?
You know what? I haven't been inside since the last Adaptive Ski Program movie there. Or it wasn't last year, but maybe a couple of years ago. So I don't know what the inside looks like.
Well, anyway, they're screening it twice at 6 and 8 o'clock. And The Way I See It... it's a new ski movie. What do we know about this? What do we know about the movie The Way I See It?
I don't know much about it, to be honest.
It's the winner of Powder Magazine's 2009 Movie of the Year. It brings you the best athletes on the planet sharing their point of view on what it means to be a skier.
There'll be tons of fresh powder. That's the main point.
That's the main thing.
For ski enthusiasts, is that there's going to be massive pow-pow.
And I got notice saying from Mary Gray McGee saying that there's an art opening at Counterculture on Baca Street today from 5 to 7, and collagraphs and monoprints by Mary Gray McGee on view all month.
On Sunday, the 7th, Ahalina Studios over there on 2nd Street, 1422 2nd Street, is having a closing reception for Inner Demons 2. It's a group show. That reception is from 2 to 4 p.m., so it's kind of a daytime thing. And there's rumors that there will be hot dogs. Mm. I'm just saying. Art and hot dogs.
And we're not talking dachshunds.
No.
Wetland restoration and erosion control is something sponsored by the Earthworks Institute, Saturday, November 6th, and it's at the El Dorado Community Preserve parking lot. And basically, you can learn erosion control and participate in learning how to and actually doing restoration work, which is something that Earthworks Institute is just so wonderfully good at. For more information, you could go to earthworksinstitute.org and or call 505-982-9806. Get out there with your shovels and work gloves and have some fun and meet people.
Exactly.
If anybody asks me how you meet people, I say go do stuff like that.
Yeah, where you have to get down and get your hands dirty and do stuff like
that.
Yeah,
because you get to know yourself and you get to know other people when you're working.
Yeah. I never tell them to go to like, you know, a cafe or something like that.
No.
It never works out.
It doesn't work. Except when it does.
Chick Corea tribute on Thursday the 11th. Pianist John Rangel, bassist Michael Glynn, and percussionist Cal Haynes are going to be whipping it up over at El Mason on Washington Avenue at 7 p.m. You got to make dinner reservations also for this, but if you call 989-1088, you can get more information on that and ticket prices and all that good stuff.
The Dixon Studio Tour
is this weekend.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome.
Tell all.
Well, you know, there's tons of stuff to do in Dixon, and that particular part of northern New Mexico is my favorite. Now, I don't know if there's any trees left with any pretty leaves on them.
Yeah,
but
not likely.
It's an awesome drive. You know, Dixon Studio Tour, you go
Dixon
up there, you grab
like
some apples.
It's the most cosmopolitan village on the planet.
Cosmopolitan village?
I mean, it's a small place, but there's so much going on there.
Yeah, there's vineyards. You can go and hang out in some vineyards.
But there's cool people, there's dance classes, there's all sorts of good things.
Yeah.
Okay, Dixon Studio Tour, go check it out.
Okay, it's a self-guided event, but there's a reception from 5:30 to 7:30 tonight at the Embudo Valley Community Center. That's out there on New Mexico 75. The tour actually takes place from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, November 6th and 7th. If you go to dixonarts.org, you can get tour maps, you can check out samples of artwork by some of the artists, and you can get more information.
And you were invited to a special concert this Saturday. 400 honor students from the North Central region of New Mexico will perform in band, choir, and string orchestra, and half of them are from our own Santa Fe Public School music students. And let's see, the free concert is at 1:30 in the Toby Roybal Gym of Santa Fe High, and that's amazing.
Wow, that's a lot of tubas.
That's 400 musicians. I wonder if they're all playing at the same time. Can this be true? I think it is. For more information, 467-2513. Did you ever see the South Park Orchestra play?
No.
On watching South Park?
No. Are there pan flutes?
Well, that was another episode. Oh. That was called Pandemic. That was a two-part episode of South Park. But there's, I think it's the 4th of July. It was one of the old 4th of July episodes where they decide to make this giant, you know, those little snakes where you light them on fire and they turn into, they made it that was so big that it took over half of Colorado. And a lot of people got crushed. But I think the South Park Orchestra plays in that. They're not very good.
I found the other holiday listing that I was. There's three or four, but I didn't mark them, so I'm not going to waste anybody's time. Jenny Cooley Gallery is having an opening tonight called "The Ghosts of Christmas Past." Expect Santa Claus to be involved in this group show. There's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. You know, I've been into like five or six different places in the last couple of days, and they've already been playing holiday music. And I'm already annoyed.
You mean like Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have to put earplugs in every time I go into a public institution of shopping.
Yeah.
Between basically
That's a good idea.
Halloween and New Year's.
I should stick some in my pocket or in my car just so I have them handy. No, it was I went out to the fashion outlet malls, and they were blaring Christmas music.
No, it's so very wrong. Letters to Our Daughters, World Film Premiere, a benefit for Women Building Community, a program of the New Mexico Community Foundation. Documentary drama, it's a documentary drama film that features many of the participants in the Women Building Community. And it is Saturday, tomorrow at 7:30 at the Lenzic. For more information, you can call 820-6860.
Gosh, Sunday the 7th, Gospel Brunch with Lydia Clark and the Gospel Writers. You can go and repent and grab a beer. That's noon to 3 p.m.
Do you have to repent for grabbing the beer?
I'm not sure what the order of that is.
Yeah, that's...
It's been a while since I've repented, actually.
And then, to your credit.
On Sunday night, there's a California country and garage rock band, which sounds kind of interesting to me, called the Paper Planes. They're playing at 8:30. On Sunday night over at the Cowgirl. And there's, golly, no cover for that.
The Process and Meow Wolf present Broken Water Taboo Saturday, tomorrow.
Oh, no. I think we already talked about Broken Water.
Oh, you did?
The Olympia band? Taboo couldn't make it. They had to cancel.
Oh, okay. All right.
But.
Oh, yes, you did. Olympia.
Yes.
That's right. I was listening.
But go see that show because it's awesome.
Well, The Process and Meow Wolf are both crazy amazing.
Have you noticed that they're doing a lot of stuff together lately? The Process,
well,
High Mayhem,
should,
and Meow Wolf.
Well, they should, because it's a perfect, all those, they're a perfect fit for each other.
And in this economic climate, it's better to sort of join forces anyway, I think.
Ronald Feldman's Fine Arts, Warhol's Andes, from today through the 23rd of December. Andy Warhol, Warhol's Andes. Do you know about that?
I have no idea.
It's basically... screen prints and other artworks by Andy Warhol.
Oh.
Self-portraits from 1966 to 1982.
Sweet.
Yeah, it is sweet. That's a good word for it. I mean, it's actually even though people just throw that word around, it's actually a fitting word for how these portraits look. They're very sweet.
Yeah. You're a friend of archaeology, aren't you?
Is archaeology a person?
No.
Oh.
No. The Friends of Archaeology are holding their annual celebration at Hotel Santa Fe on Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. You can learn about ongoing work at the Water Canyon Paladonian site, new excavations near Carrizozo. There's going to be some hands-on exhibits, updates on the forthcoming Center for New Mexico Archaeology, a silent auction, a light buffet, a no-host bar. That's over there at Hotel Santa Fe. Proceeds are going to benefit the Office of Archaeological Studies Research and Education Projects. If you call 505-827-6385, you can get reservations for that.
The Albuquerque chapter of the American Guild of Organists is having a concert on Friday, today, at the Cathedral of St. John's in Albuquerque. And a brilliant young American organist, Douglas Cleveland, will be there. And Craig Smith sent this. I know it's Albuquerque, but we've got listeners in Albuquerque. So,
yeah,
just for your information. And a very handsome young organist.
Cool. Out there, and speaking of out-of-town stuff, at the Mesa Public Library in Los Alamos, there's an exhibit called Divas in Dresses. It's a costumes worn by Santa Fe Opera cast members.
Nice.
And there's a reception out there hosted by the Los Alamos Opera Guild on Tuesday, November 9th, from 5 to 7 p.m. That's going to be up through December 30th. I wanted to mention real quick, on Thursday, Santa Fe New Music is having its season opener. The 2010-2011 season is opening with Peter Garland's Coyote Bones and the Roque Dalton songs, 7:30 p.m. at Steeren Hall at the Santa Fe Opera.
Excellent.
You can get, if you call 474-6601, you can get more information, or you can read the great story on page 32 in today's Pasatiempo.
Arte Bella Global Art Gallery on Don Gaspar in Santa Fe is having a group show called Humiliated Angels.
Is that another holiday show?
I don't know. But it's only for a week, this show, and the reception is today. And for more information, you can call 983-1726. I don't think I have an image here, so I don't know what the Humiliated Angels, the Humiliated Angels look like, but you can find out by going.
St. John's College Dean's Lecture Series presents tonight at 8 p.m. A lecture by tutor Patricia Locke called The 1001 Nights of Marcel Proust. That's at the Great Hall Peterson Student Center at St. John's College. There's no charge for that, but you can call 984-6000 for more info. Or I'm sure it's on their website, too.
And tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, right here on KSFR, Dr. Nick Begich, anti-HAARP activist, H-A-A-R-P.
Oh.
And he's not against the angels play when they dance on the clouds in heaven.
Humiliated
him? He's the author of Controlling the Human Mind. He visits Camp Lovewave to discuss the electromagnetic soup we live in and the potential danger of technologies used for political control. I smell a conspiracy theory.
That, yes. I do, too.
Always fun on Camp Lovewave. Definitely. Seriously.
There is, I wish I could find it. There is a lecture tonight, or not tonight. I can't find it, but it's in the Pasatiempo. There is an FBI special agent that is going to be lecturing about, federal art and antiquities. This is also on Thursday. Federal Art and Antiquities Crime in the Southwest, a talk by FBI Special Agent David Keiss from 2 to 4 p.m. at St. John's United Methodist Church over there at 1200 Old Pecos Trail. That sounds like an interesting lecture.
Indeed it does.
Yeah. It's it fits right into this our whole artifact collection fetish that we have here.
Now, Ali Abunima's talk, which is titled Palestine, Israel, Is a Just Solution Possible, is tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the Unitarian Congregation in Santa Fe, presented by Another Jewish Voice. And the number for that is 466-3184. I know we played an announcement about it, but just in case, it's tomorrow at 7.
If you're heading out to the Dixon Studio Tour, Joe West is going to play some of his Twisted Country from noon to 3:30 p.m. on Saturday the 6th out at Embuto Station. And that's right there along, it's on Drive Street off New Mexico 68. That's on Saturday. On Sunday from noon to 3:30 p.m., Dadu and Hillary are going to be playing some accordion and violin.
Yay.
And
what's at the screen? I'll tell you what's at the
screen. What is at the screen?
Henri-Georges Clouzot's, Clouzot's Inferno. It's the only film released in 2010 to receive a perfect 100% on Rotten Tomatoes survey of film critics. And it's the stranger and more beautiful than fiction story of the director, Henri-Georges Clouzot's most ambitious film project of 1964 when he set out to make The Inferno. So I guess it's a documentary about a movie, the way some of those things are.
Yeah.
Which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Cox... presents straight to hell.
To hell.
But that starts on Thursday of next week, and Alex Cox will be there in person. Awesome.
Yes, there's a little story by Mr. Knott in the Pasatiempo today.
Excellent. And Jolene, which was at the Santa Fe Film Festival a year or two ago, is back at the CCA. Exit through the gift shop. Lots of good stuff. Jean-Michel Basquiat, that's still there.
That's been held over for a long time.
Yeah, forever. Check out ccasantafe.org for more information. And it's just about time to go.
Is it?
It is.
Oh, man. Well.
Yeah.
What are you going to do this weekend?
I'm probably going to go to the Ali Abunima talk, and I'm going to do something on Sunday, which I haven't done in, I think, decades. I'm going to ride a horse.
Ooh.
Yeah. Watch me not walk on Monday. But anyway.
You're not going. Are you going to use a saddle? Are you going to use?
Yes. Okay. I don't know. I'm going to have somebody invited me, so I'm going to go.
Well, Robert, good luck with that.
Rob, thank you. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us here every Friday now. Speaking of the arts,
yeah,
it's
pretty
just
much every
great
Friday.
To have you on board.
It's good to be here.
It's good to have you.
It's good to be
it's
had.
It's good to be had. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. I'm Mary Charlotte. We're streaming. KSFR is streaming at ksfr.org. And I am podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Let me know if that works, ladies and gentlemen, if people are happily subscribed and if it is functioning. Every once in a while I get little emails, but if anything doesn't work, please let me know. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to the fabulous Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team with the most fabulous Dan Garrity and Bill Dupuy and many others. And after that, jazz a la carta. What are you doing this weekend?
I don't No. Going after firewood again.
Uh-huh.
This time I'm going to try not to cut myself with a chainsaw.
That would be excellent.
Yeah.
Not cutting.
Yeah, I'm healing well, though. So going up to Vivash, going to get some firewood, and I'm going to spend the rest of the weekend watching movies.
Excellent.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do on Saturday is mm-hmm. nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go see Broken Water, though. That's one thing I am going to go do on Saturday.
Ciao.